That's today on The Daily from the New York Times.
WJFF Jeffersonville.
From Radio Catskills Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me this evening. It's been a busy news day here at Radio Catskill, because today was a day that New York's Governor Kathy Hochul gave her State of the State address. This is the third State of the State address she's given as governor. The unofficial kickoff of New York's budgeting process. The governor did not lay out a budget today, but she laid out her vision for what she wants to see accomplished in the budget and this year's legislative session. Coming up, we have reactions from local legislators, including New York Senator Peter Oberacker and Assembly Member Paula Kay, coming up in the second half of the program. But first, right after the speech this afternoon, I spoke with Ian Pickus, WAMC News, the New York Public News Network, to get his reaction. You did it in real time. You watched the governor. You listened to the governor, what she had to say. I guess we have to start the conversation with spam. Spam figured prominently in the very beginning, and it was actually one of the first things that you noted when you started to do analysis. You want to let us know why?
Right. Governor Hochul was talking about her own sort of humble roots and trying to, I think, make a connection with the average New York resident slash voter who might have been listening or watching the speech today. And she said, yeah, you know, when I was growing up, my mom would make us a spam sandwiches. And she was really casting herself as the kind of working class person who could benefit from a lot of what she proposed today in her agenda for 2025. Things like making school meals free for students, things like making it easier to go back to college and learn a new trade. And of course, the kind of tax relief rebate checks that she's been talking about since December. So she did talk about some bigger issue things like public safety and infrastructure. But to me, it stood out as being a speech about, you know, domestic issues, things in the home and everyday life. And I don't know that she explicitly was reacting to the November elections in any way, but it would be hard not to read a lot of the focus in with that lens, you know, after the elections in which the Democrats did not do so well nationally and people cited issues like the cost of living near the top of their concerns.
You can see her trying to connect with people. There seems to be like a greater sense of urgency among New York Democrats and, you know, possibly Democrats around the country, too. But here in New York, you could see Democrats in Albany trying to reach people in that way, trying to connect with people where they think people are. But I guess my question is, if we can so easily see the governor trying to reach people, what does that say about her ability to actually reach people if it's just so obvious that she's trying?
Well, I think what happens in this session will go a long way toward answering that question. You know, it's fair to say, at least if we believe what public polls show us, that Governor Hochul is not very popular with New York voters right now, and she hasn't been for quite a while. She had a little bit of a honeymoon period when she took over for Governor Andrew Cuomo in 2021, but in her first election in her own right the next year, you know, she had a very narrow margin of victory, relatively speaking, for a Democrat in New York State. And so that has to be top of mind for her political wing. But really, for right now, it's about getting a budget bill together. It's about working with fellow Democrats in the legislature to actually put a package out by April 1st. So today was kind of like the broad themes, the big picture. And once we have the governor's budget plan, we can actually see where her priorities are. The state of the state is, you know, the old adage about campaign and poetry govern in prose. Today was the poetry. The prose is next week when the budget's removed, and then the real horse trading begins with the legislature. So I think any elected official, you can look beyond New York State. You can look to what's gone on in other places like France and Canada even. You know, it's a tough time to be an incumbent elected official right now. The populace is pretty restive, and you have to be responsive to that or else you're not going to stay in office.
Yeah. Was there anything semi-concrete amid the poetry, you know, telegraphing to you like what her policy priorities are? I mean, you did mention safety there. Is there anything else that you could tease out of this that looks to be, you know, core to what she's going to be pursuing budget-wise, legislatively?
You know, it's always a question about what is worth fighting for in Albany and where do people want to spend their political capital. You know, from conversations I've been having, it doesn't seem like getting a $300 to $500 tax rebate check out to people as a kind of a one-time issue is that hard of a lift. You know, if the governor really wants that, she'll probably get it. Middle-class tax cut, you know, should be politically pretty popular, but I think it's an open question about some of the longer-term out-year structural changes that she's proposing. The child care system, remaking a child care system, having available backup staff, and making it easier for people to afford these things, those are big and tractable problems that will take a commitment beyond kind of a one-shot. And, you know, state legislative leaders and other lawmakers have been saying, you know, the tax rebate check is, you know, it's kind of like it feels good and, it's dessert, but it's not going to change people's lives beyond, you know, the cashing of that one time. So bigger picture, it gets a little tougher, I think.
You know, in the governor's State of the State 2 years ago, she set a high bar in the State of the State address for housing and addressing the housing shortage in the state. And we all know that didn't pan out the way that she had proposed, that she wasn't able to bring people along in the legislature. She kind of stayed away from that issue last year. Did housing, has she yet come back to that? Did housing come up anywhere in this speech?
A little bit. It did a little bit. She talked about, now it's ancient history, but she had a 800,000 units of affordable housing plan and effectively, you know, kind of going around local communities to establish these affordable housing units. And predictably that was met with a lot of resistance by places that, you know, for whatever reason, weren't keen on the idea. So then Governor Hochul came back with this idea of setting up a program for, quote, pro-housing communities. And that has been ongoing, and a lot of communities have opted into it. That opens up state funding for them. Today she talked about, one, kind of removing private equity from the housing market to make it easier for people to actually buy a home in New York State, and two, continuing on to make more affordable housing units in the state. So I would say it was a more modest approach on the issue of housing, but she acknowledged that it's something she's been talking about for a long time. And I think it is worth pointing out, you know, the legislative session is only until June. So every year has its share of problems, and a lot of them recur year over year because it's hard to solve an issue like a housing shortage in 6 months.
Right. To get back onto the political analysis of this a little bit, we were talking about, you know, the governor struggling with popularity among the general population. Another thing that the governor seems to have struggled with throughout her time in office is just wielding power, governing, and bringing the legislature along. It's a Democratic governor leading a Democrat-led Senate and Assembly, but still struggling in that sense. I'm wondering, as you look at, you know, the question, as you said, in Albany, of what's worth fighting for, did you hear about anything that she might want to fight for that will bring her allies in the legislature, that will help her build a coalition to maybe steer things a little bit more ably than she has the last few years?
Well, I think you do have to remember that the majority of the legislature is sort of in a different political lane than Governor Hochul is in. I mean, you know, just on kind of basic facts, she's a upstate New York governor. She doesn't have that New York City power base. And she is, frankly, in a lot of ways, you know, a little more moderate than a lot of the state lawmakers are. I mean, there have been battles in her tenure where the left of the state Senate is pulling in a direction that she just doesn't want to go into. Now, it's a big tent, the Democratic Party in Albany, and ultimately, it's in their interest to try to get to agreement, to try to get to yes on things. I will say, you know, in years past, Governor Hochul has not put the same premium on getting an on-time budget as her predecessor, Andrew Cuomo, did. You know, for a long time, the New York State budget was always late, and then we got kind of used to getting, you know, sort of at or near April 1. Hochul has been willing to let that go in the last few years, and you know, 1 year, really a few weeks into May. So we'll see what happens this time around. But you know, in terms of what could be controversial, the question about reforming the state mental hygiene laws to make it easier to involuntarily commit somebody who might be going through a mental health crisis toward public safety. That's clearly going to be a battle this legislative term. And that was something that she highlighted in the speech today with particular focus.
And again, what I've been telling listeners right along is this is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the New York State budgeting process, which is where a lot of New York State's legislative session and legislative accomplishments come out of this budget process. So here we are at the start of this. As you said, you know, we'll get more details as she actually proposes a budget. We'll see what the Assembly and Senate are proposing as we enter this process. Now, having heard what the governor said, what questions do you have that you're looking for answers for? What will you be watching in the next phase of the budgeting process?
Well, the governor's budget will be a line in the sand to a degree. You know, you'll find out what is actually funded and what the priorities are. You know, it's one thing to say you want to do X, Y, and Z. It's another thing to say we're going to spend some of this precious money on it. When the Assembly and the Senate start having their budget hearings and they release their One House bills, their version of the budget will be different from hers, and we'll find out, you know, sort of where the fault lines are. And then they've got to work on reconciling the three different ideas of where we should be. And that's where the classic three people in a room, now it's two women and a man, used to be three men in a room, and that's changed. That's where all the important decisions are made. And there has been some truth to this in years past, that even though the lawmakers are here until June, you know, the big stuff, if it doesn't get included in the budget by April 1, it has a much harder time getting done by the end of the year. There are other bills that the governor didn't talk about today that are fairly controversial. Just one example would be, you know, medical aid in dying, which last year had some momentum but ultimately fell short. You know, there wasn't a word about that in the governor's State of the State today, so that makes it potentially less likely that would be in a budget package that we'll see next week.
All right, Ian, before I let you go, is there anything else that you want folks to know about what you saw today that we didn't get to?
Well, just real quick, one thing that she didn't talk about, and that is President-elect Donald Trump, who will be sworn in on Monday. I think there is sort of a different feeling this time around with Trump coming into office. The first time, you know, there were battles with blue states. I mean, really pitched battles. And I don't even have to go back through all of them, but COVID stands out as being a major fight between New York State and the Trump administration at the time. And this time around, you know, she didn't spend an hour today talking about all the ways New York is going to fight Trump's agenda. She didn't even take up the possibility of that fight, at least within this speech. Which is sort of a different sort of tone than she had the day after the election. So I think Democrats are in a different place than they were in 2017 with how they expect to deal with the administration going forward. But it is worth noting that Mike Lawler, the Hudson Valley Republican congressman who was at Mar-a-Lago not long ago talking about the state and local tax deduction, had his own series of press events today at the state capitol. And so, you know, everything is happening with the backdrop of the 2026 election right now.
Absolutely. Well, Ian Pickus, WAMC News, thank you so much for joining us to talk about the state of the state.
Always great to be on with Radio Catskill. Keep up the good work.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
It's a local edition. I'm Jason Dole. And tonight we are reacting to New York Governor Kathy Hochul's State of the State address, addressing the state today and laying out her vision for the year ahead. And we heard from Ian Pickus of WAMC News. Now let's talk to some of the folks who were in the room for the speech. This evening, I spoke with Paula Kay, Assembly member for New York's 100th Assembly District. And earlier before that, I spoke with New York Senator Peter Oberacker. Senator, welcome back to the Local Edition. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'm talking to you now. It's just maybe a little more than an hour since the governor got done giving her State of the State address. I want your hot take, initial reaction to this speech that I assume you listened to.
Not only did I listen to it, but I was in attendance and saw it right from the beginning. Look, I'll start off this way and kind of characterize it. I was a CEO of a company. And it all comes from the top, right? When things are good, when things are bad, you know, those of us that are in leadership, you take it. And truly, to me, Governor Hochul is like the captain who steers the ship into an iceberg and then wants credit for handing out life jackets, okay? And it really is. I think New Yorkers are fed up. I think they're fed up because we don't really perform. We don't profess to the leadership. We don't project the leadership, okay? And we're only offering these Band-Aid solutions, you know, wrapped up in promises. So that's, in a nutshell, that was what I took from the totality of what the State of the State brought out. Now, I will say this, because there are some little pearls of wisdom. There's a little bit of a diamond in some of this. So some of the things that the governor did say that I could get behind, and I was wanting to understand a little bit more of the details. So first and foremost, and I've been an advocate on this from day one, is basically free lunch for our children in school. We're talking about breakfast and lunch. You can't go and be educated if you're having an empty stomach. And so I was very happy to hear that the governor has proposed a free lunch program. So I'm really looking to get in the devil's, you know, in the details on this. Understand where it's coming from, how we're going to institute it. And I hope that they would be, you know, I'm on the ad committee, and I'm hoping that they tie this in, right, with the ability to use locally grown, locally supplied foods for our school lunch program. So that was one. Two, and this is something that I think is near and dear to our hearts down in Sullivan. They're talking about offering up free tuition for our community colleges. I mean, this would be a boom for our SUNY Sullivan and some of the other SUNYs that I have in my district to be able to offer that up. So again, I was excited about that being on the higher ed committee and finance. I'd love to see where we're going to get the funding from to make this happen. There was a couple other things that again, you know, there were some tax incentives. The thing with taxes though that gets me. And being a businessman, I think of it in these terms. I would rather have my money in my pocket or in my hand year-round as opposed to giving it to the federal government, state government, whoever, and then have them meter it back to me and then think that I'm getting something, right, for that effort. And the tax incentives that are coming out, being on finance, I want to see where they plan on coming from, what the projection is coming from, and then see how we're going to roll that out to, you know, the constituents, especially my constituents in the 51st Senate District.
Staying more on the political analysis than necessarily talking about policy right now. What I'm looking at is Governor Hochul is a governor who has struggled not just recently with popularity among the populace, but has struggled to bring the legislature along with her vision over the last few years, not just folks on your side of the aisle among the Republicans, but people in her own party in both the Assembly and the Senate. As you listened to the speech today, did you see any areas where the governor might be laying out possibilities for people to partner with her, people to join her, for her to build a coalition to accomplish some of these things? Did you see or hear any open doors today for the governor possibly building a coalition, building support and allies?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll be the first to say, you know, when the governor spoke about, I think I, you know, previously spoke to this, when the governor said about the free lunch program, everybody, and I'm saying everybody from the Republican Minority Conference stood up and clapped. It was something that we could all get behind. Okay. When we were talking about, you know, SUNY, and I have more SUNYs than most people in my in my district than here in Albany. We're all about getting folks into the SUNY system, get them enrolled, keeping it healthy. So when she was talking about offering up, you know, the free tuition, fantastic. I'm also carrying legislation that gives free tuition to our firefighters to acknowledge them. So that's a good thing. And we all from the minority conference got up and applauded. Lastly, transportation. There isn't one of us that can't get behind transportation. Less potholes, better conditions for roads. The potential for rail service. I've been working on a interesting project of trying to increase and start actual passenger rail service from Port Jervis through the western parts of our Sullivan County all the way up to the Binghamton area. And this would be driven by a green energy, right? A green hydrogen driven locomotive. So yeah, there are some areas that we can get behind, and we will. We'd like to see a little bit more of that type of forward thinking on some of these other issues.
Since we've got you, before I let you go, I do want to point out that the legislative session started last week. We're talking to you at the end of the very first 7 days of the 2025 legislative session. Any observations or takeaways that you can give us of what this first week's been like that might tell us a little bit about what lays in the months ahead?
You know, I always like to come into the first month of session with an open mind. And, it is good to see some of my colleagues from across the aisle. I'm starting my fifth year here. I think they know me. I know them a little bit better. You come into it with kind of a renewed energy, renewed focus, a lot of work to be done. And, being from the business world, I'm saying, like, let's get to work. You know, let's get down to it. Let's really start to make these issues better. And I do mean better for the families, for the businesses, for our elderly, and more appropriately, too, for our veterans here in New York. So I'm optimistic, willing to work, and looking to get some progress moving forward.
Senator Peter Obracker from New York's 51st Senate District, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Excellent. Stay warm.
Okay, now to wrap up our reaction program here on the Local Edition, reacting to New York Governor Kathy Hochul's State of the State address. Now let's talk to Paula Kay from New York's 100th Assembly District. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what was your take? Were you there in the room when Governor Hochul gave her speech, and what's your reaction to it?
I certainly was there in the room, and I was pleased to be there. I think that there are some great initiatives coming out of the State of the State, but there is still quite a bit of work to be done. Very pleased with some of the initiatives, including discovery reform, which I need to look at a little bit more closely. The housing being prioritized, as well as some of the affordability factors, again, is very encouraging. I do think for our commuters in the 100th district, I think that there still needs to be a little more emphasis on affordability. Those who are commuting into the city are going to see some of those givebacks and incentives taken away again in the form of congestion pricing. But I applaud the governor for trying to make the citizens of New York have a better way to make ends meet at the end of the week or at the end of the pay period, and some of these programs will certainly do that. I'm very pleased with the expansion of child care credits and school lunches, as well as her program to have community college free for folks who are maybe starting second careers between the ages of 22 and 55 years of age. And I think that's a great way to address some of the needs we have in our community of jobs that aren't being filled.
Yeah, and in your district, there's SUNY Sullivan. I think SUNY Orange is in your district as well, right?
Yes, it is.
So that has some significance for you if that comes to be.
Absolutely. Again, at a time where we have businesses struggling to find employees, the idea of giving people a chance to start something new and fill some of those empty spaces is really wonderful for our community.
How about on the safety end of things? I know that in your first week of legislating, you're emphasizing safety. What did you hear from the governor on that front, and was it what you wanted to hear?
Yes, again, so there was a lot of discussion today about reducing crime in New York City and on our subways, and I think that's important and has to be done. But I also want to see some emphasis on reducing crime in our streets, in our towns and villages. And I think that while it wasn't discussed much during the speech, in the background of the state, there's going to be a discussion revolving discovery reform, which will help to make our prosecutors and district attorneys' jobs a little bit easier so that we don't have a revolving door like we do today. I have to look at that a little bit more carefully, but it certainly seems that Governor Hochul is strengthening enforcement efforts.
Now, you're new to the Assembly, but in recent years, you've got Democrat Governor Hochul leading a legislature comprised of majority Democrats, sometimes struggling to bring the legislature along with her policy ideas. How do you feel, given what she laid out in her speech? I know you don't have all the details that she'll lay out in her first budget proposals, but just going on the speech, how do you feel, does this position her in terms of finding allies to work with on either side of the aisle, bringing the Democrats along and leading the legislature? How does this speech set her up for being able to do that?
I think there are certain things in her speech that appeal to everybody, including the expansion of child tax credits, including her emphasis on increased child care slots, including restoring old buildings like we are doing in the city of Middletown for child care. All of those things are something that I'm certain that every legislator will jump on and applaud. It's incredibly important, as well as school lunches throughout New York State.
And, you know, before you go, since we've got you, this is day number 7, essentially, since the legislative session of the year opened. It just started last week. Anything you can tell me about your first week there in Albany on the ground and the start of this legislative session and anything that telegraphs for the months ahead?
Certainly. While this is our second week of session, I've been on the ground running, and we have all of our offices are open. We're actually in the process of moving our district office in Monticello from Anawana Lake Road to 461 Broadway in Monticello, the intersection of Broadway and Lakeview Avenue, right across from TD Bank. We are changing over our phones and our internet services right now, and we are excited and ready to be open and accessible in the middle of the village of Monticello as soon as possible.
Okay, and when that happens, I'm sure you'll let us know, and maybe we'll talk to you again then.
We would love to do that. We'd love to have you come and take a visit.
All right. Well, Paula Kay from New York's 100th Assembly District, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for the Local Edition tonight. Thank you so much for listening to the Local Edition. Do keep on listening right here and come on back tomorrow evening at 6. I will be here again. I'm Jason Dole. We'll do the Local Edition. Coming up at 7, it's the Music Emporium and Mr. Kusar Grace kicking off our evening of music, but we've still got some news. Stay with us right now for The Daily. This is Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Say, if you're tired of the cold outside, join us inside for the annual Retro Cocktail Hour All Exotica show, where we'll sweep you away to a tropical climate with tunes by the new Les Baxter Orchestra, the Waikiki Seven, the Islanders, and more. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour. Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.